You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
And welcome aboard, everybody. This is New Retirement Radio, finally, on WTCM with Prout Financial Design. The crew is in today, led by Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Oh, it's so good to be here. What are these random noises, people,
noises
going on
so
in the
funny
studio? Who are those people? Good morning, everyone. Well, it is Thursday, 6-8, June 8. Welcome to the height of summer. Even the postman who experiences every day
the temperature.
Temperatures was geeked about the weather.
It's not even summer yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's not even the longest day
officially
yet.
What is the longest day, if you would, Ron?
I believe
June 21st.
Yes.
21st.
Yes.
June 21st.
There it is.
There is no darkness in Alaska on June 21st.
Mm. Now that's radical. I'm sorry. I've not had enough sun. We'll just go to Alaska.
We were there.
My sister lived in Alaska for a couple of years. And she said that people get all messed up with what time it is because it's light all the time.
Yeah.
There'd be people out mowing along at 2 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I couldn't sleep at all last night.
But is it really night? Who knows if it never gets dark?
Craziness. Well, we have some a relatively new person with us here this morning, joining us on the radio show. That is the Nathan Prout, our own advisor at Prout Financial Design. Welcome, Nathan.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Maybe somewhat new to us, hopefully not new to you. He's been around the Prout family for a while.
Yeah. 11 years, something like that. 9 years, whatever.
Okay.
Dennis always exaggerates. Somebody keep him on the straight. And Deanne Jennings, too. Welcome, Deanne.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Our own director of operations. And she's got some fantastic stats related to AI. Artificial intelligence. Before we get going into that subject, Nathan's going to be talking about when Roth IRAs do not make sense. Just to make certain that you don't think we breathe only one word, Roth IRAs, we're going to talk about when they could possibly not make sense. You heard it here first. Really? Dennis, we're so disappointed. I know. Hey, coming up on 6/22, is that what you just said is the longest day of the year?
21st.
So the day after the longest Sunday, we are having a lunch on Social Security. And in terms of the information gleaned and gathered on Tuesday evening, I was putting together some more information for that class. And literally, I just got so excited about the information. Do you know what the maximum income a 70-year-old could collect from Social Security? Any ideas? What would be a best guess?
$28,000 a year.
You're not even close, sir. Let's speak in terms of monthly income.
Okay.
Monthly. Higher.
What would that be? That'd be $3,000 a month.
Higher.
$4,000 a month.
Higher yet. A little bit more. $4,500 per month is the maximum income one could collect. Now, that would be if you'd work for 35 years and earn the maximum taxable Social Security amounts. So you contributed between yourself and your employer 6.2% per year times 2, 12.4, thank you very much, to Social Security, 12.4% to Social Security over those years. Now, what's interesting as well, the income, maximum income at age 62 is about $2,500 a month. So speaking of your previous guesstimate, it's about 30 grand a year. Hmm. So the difference between the two, about $2,000 or so per month. Well, just figuring roughly, because we're going down that rabbit trail and I've chosen it, so let's go there together, shall we? $2,000 a month, about what do you need in a lump sum to give you that income? We'll just do roughly. At a 4% withdrawal rate, you need about $600,000. To accumulate that much over that 8-year period, I've already figured it out. It would need to be about $4,800 a month that you would need to invest. And if you earned 6% per year on your funds, is I can't believe
so you're
got
saying
the HP. Thank
if,
you.
If you can,
jeez, buddy, thanks.
If you can wait from 62 to 70, if you can do that, it's worth it.
If you can, it could be worth it. Well, what does that mean? Well, it depends on how long you're going to live mm-hmm. and whether or not you and or a spouse are using that income. So there are some caveats to that. Thank you very much to our listeners who are with Social Security vis-a-vis Bob. However
Bob
you
Simpson.
Say
Bob
that.
Simpson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So it depends, but isn't it interesting what that can teach us? Isn't it?
Yes.
So think about it. Think about it, folks. And I'm excited about this class. If you do want to sign up, we have a few signups available still. Mm-hmm. June 21st, contact Beth, B-E-T-H, at proutfinancialdesign.com or simply call our offices at 231-947-3992.
Is that, again, it's on June 21st or 2nd?
June 21st.
Okay.
Did I say 22? Stink, I wrote it down wrong.
The first
here.
Time you did, but it is June 21st,
yep,
which
the
is...
the longest day of the year.
All right, Wednesday.
Oh, it is on the longest
and
day
And it's a
of
lunch,
year.
Lunch and learn, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Only from Dennis. Jeez, oh, Pete.
You can also go on the website, proutfinancialdesign.com, and then go to Learning Library, and then classes and seminars, and RSVP that way as well.
Thank you, Deanne. So today we're talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and it is literally... mind-blowing what's going on about this. And it's no wonder that Elon Musk and others, the tech geeks, are warning about AI because we're just starting to see some of the false information. You know, I think we saw some arguments that attorneys were making using AI, and the arguments that they were using based on previous cases was all made out of whole cloth, if you will. It was factually beyond factually inaccurate, it was just totally wrong. So it uses information to the best of its ability, but its ability is still a bit questionable at this point. But it is advancing. Netflix uses artificial intelligence, Deanne was telling us, to help it recommend the movies that you might be interested in, and resulting then in Netflix's huge increase in earnings and their stock price has more than doubled in the last year.
Wow.
From 180 or so about a year ago to about $400, thank you very much, per share today. Mm-hmm. So the impact of this is possibly brought to bear by the time it takes to get to 1 million users for different technologies or experiences, if you will. Now, Netflix took 3.5 years to get to 1 million users. 3.5 years. Airbnb, 2.5 years. Facebook, any guesses?
3 months.
Ten months. Good guess. Mm-hmm. Spotify, 5 months.
Wow, really?
Instagram, 2.5 months to get to 1 million users. The iPhone, how many days? It's a good guess.
The iPhone comes out how many days before they sold? I'm say 1 day.
74 days.
Okay.
That seems like eons today, doesn't it?
Yeah, 10 weeks.
ChatGTP. GPT, rather.
Yeah.
ChatGPT. See, you can essentially say it right. ChatGTP took 5 days. 5 days to get to 1 million users.
Users. Wow.
Today, estimated, well, as of April, 176 million users. 1.8 billion visits in April of 23. So the amount of information that it can disseminate and process is helped along right now by NVIDIA. NVIDIA, their ability to process information has gone through the roof because of the storage capability of their, and I'm looking at Nathan, of their chips. Correct?
Yeah, it would be the advancement of their graphics cards specifically, which a lot of people also use for Bitcoin mining or something like that as well, too.
So Nathan is our own in-house consultant on all things tech. He works with our tech people to secure our information, amongst other things. So we have an advisory firm that oversees us, if you will, and our security issues, as well as our computer systems. So that's why I'm referencing him.
It was the last week of May when NVIDIA took that huge jump from about 300 to 400. So what's that?
Overnight. Never seen that kind of an increase in estimates in terms of earnings for a major company like that. So the real earnings these companies are generating is very much unlike what we saw in the early 2000s with the internet. Because who are the major competitors right now? Right now, Google, Microsoft,
Facebook,
ServiceNow, NOW,
Google,
Honeywell, Amazon.
They're the major players for what? Just overall?
AI.
AI. Okay.
Yeah. The major players right now, they're investing billions. Microsoft has already invested $1 billion with an ongoing commitment to invest another $10 billion. Google, Microsoft, Adobe, ServiceNow, Rockwell Automation. You may not have heard of that company. ROK is the symbol for that one. In energy, Schlumberger. In defense, Lockheed Martin, LMT. These are some of the major ones that we look at right now and follow quite closely. Obviously, NVIDIA is another one, a growth stock, but it's going to have a lot of volatility in this kind of environment. But the growth is just stunning. So stunning that our own economic advisor said that he spent Memorial Day weekend literally 12 hours per day studying the impact that the railroads had on our nation as a comparative. Because what they did to our country, now he's saying that this change or these changes brought about by AI are not going to be to the same degree as the railroads, but he would equate it in some respects. I think that's accurate to say. Yes, Ron?
Question for you and Nathan and Deanne, if you have any idea. So what will AI do when it has this huge impact, it's commanding all this money, this investment in research? What's like an example that you mentioned Netflix, for example?
Well, a great example is Khan Academy. Now, this is a learning tutoring kind of site for that's done a great job with math skills, algebra, geometry, trig, all of those. But what they're saying is that the learning side of it, in essence, it's going to bring learning down to everyone, that same learning capability. The teaching and tutoring capabilities are going to be brought down to the masses for those that are willing to join in on that and actually learn from it, if you will, or take the time. Now, what's interesting, question?
Was it like
further?
Auto industry or offices or
retail?
I mean, will it show up there at all?
Yeah,
Deanne's
I have
got
stats.
Some points.
Okay,
stats
good.
About
let's do the
marketing, training, you know.
Jump in with the stats right now, if you would. Let's talk right now about that.
So in the article that we're talking about, Rob Powers, he has a part where He quotes Gardner Incorporated, which is an American technology research and consulting firm that shares the research and technology through private consulting and conferences. So Gartner made a few predictions about how AI will accelerate innovation at companies from now until 2027. So here's a few of those predictions. By 2025, more than 30% of new drugs and materials will be systematically discovered using generative AI techniques.
Like 30%.
Like, medical providers are now using computers for diagnosis.
Yes.
By 2025, the U.S. of synthetic data will reduce the volume of real data needed for machine learning by 70%. So instead of a person training somebody in machine, AI will do training, or train itself maybe possibly someday.
Yeah, that's the other part of it. It's learning on its own.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about that, taking that down the road, the geeks are saying right now, singularity, which means that the technological capability will exceed that of humans. They'll be able to think solely on their own, which is beyond, which they're saying could mean the end of the human race. What are they guessing? 2040 is where the geeks are guessing it will have achieved singularity.
By 2025, 30% of outbound marketing messages from large organizations will be synthetically generated, up from less than 2% in 2022.
So that's why we're saying it's exponential, the learning capability and the ability, the capacity, the computer capacity, the chip capacity used to be linear every 2 to 3 years. We all knew that the computer power of our laptop, for instance, would double every 2 to 3 years. Now it's doubling in months and tripling. So it's gone exponential.
Isn't that a concern that, like what you, the last stat you had there, Deanne, outbound marketing messages. Would that be like emails that companies send out?
Right. So absolutely. Admin, administrative kind of things, too.
Yes.
Scheduling.
My wife used to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Messages like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would replace a lot of people.
Yes.
Drug research. So if you have fewer people working, we already have a kind of upside-down social security system.
Yeah.
That could be a concern.
Or
how
concern.
Are people going to make money?
Absolutely.
In our own ability to adjust to this is going to be possibly more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a negative side of this. And that the cheese is going to get moved for a lot of people. It's just going to happen.
This stat kind of is going along with what you guys are saying. By 2026, it's not that far away, over 100 million humans will engage robo-colleagues, synthetic virtual co-workers, to contribute to enterprise work. 100 million humans.
Robo-colleagues.
Yeah, that's why they're saying, they're wondering whether these absolute small mini microcomputers will eventually be injected into our brains so that we can access it in real time, its memory capabilities and its knowledge.
So you mentioned nanotechnology, right?
Correct.
Stuff they can put into your bloodstream,
mm-hmm.
tiny little nanobots that can cure or analyze
right.
or diagnose or
clean up the arteries.
Well, maybe.
Crazy stuff, right?
We might be goners by 2040.
Well, it's been a good life after all.
Nuts,
eh? 17 years we've got, apparently, according to the geeks. Now, what's interesting is, trying to guess, we don't know the obtuse things that will occur mm-hmm. to offset that, because physics is a science in and of itself, but humanity related to it is very different. So the impacts that people will have and the controls that will possibly be overseen or control or helping control that, we don't know what those will be. Already, as we've discussed, many of the geeks out there, if you will, are warning about AI
yeah.
and its impacts. So hopefully the governments of the world will be able to weigh in with some kind of singular voice, speaking of that, and be able to say, we need to control these aspects of AI, which we're already starting to see.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be controlled because it's the volume of misinformation that's occurring from it as well.
Well, and I was reading, you know, as I was reading for finding stats and stuff, it says Washington pressures big tech CEOs to ensure their products are safe. So the government is concerned about data privacy, misinformation, copyright, plagiarism. So the government is like, whoa, let's slow down, you know. So that's good.
The railroads were the key to economic growth in the second half of the 19th century. They made it possible to ship agricultural and manufactured goods across the country cheaply and efficiently, and they fostered the development of other industries. Because of their size and complexity, they installed new management techniques, such as the separation of finance and accounting from operating functions. I mean, who would have thought that they were the ones that started that? And the development of the first organizational charts. That, however, did not shield the railroads from the 1873 stock market crash, during which 89 of the country's 364 railroads went into bankruptcy. A total of 18,000 businesses failed over the subsequent 2 years as America fell in depression. By 1876, America's unemployment rate rose to 14%. People would be on the street today if that were the case, right? Mm-hmm. Or are they already on the street? Who knows? Yeah, I know. So generative AI is in a surging upswing today. But future speculation on its behalf could lead to cyclical economic and financial pain further down the road. Such an event is possible, but we need much more rampant speculation in the AI names. Well, what he's saying here is that the valuations are not yet crazy on many of these companies. They're relatively high, but given the growth that they're experiencing and could experience as a result and the monies that they're investing in this, it can only be guessed the impact it's going to have. It's just that one thing can be sure: you probably, if you're okay with the risk, could make sense to invest in it over time.
A couple of comments on the text line.
Sure.
Somebody said maybe it's time to pull the plug on AI before it pulls the plug on the human race.
It's wild stuff, Hal. No wild kidding. Stuff.
Yeah. And do you think a possible military conflict with China will advance or retard the development of AI?
Well, it's interesting. He mentions this, and I was thinking about China in the process. The Chinese are not nearly as keen on new ideas. Hmm. They're concerned about the ability to capitalize on those ideas. That's why they have 20 different companies that make electrical powered cars, EV cars. So they are concerned about implementing of the technology or new ideas.
They're just going to steal it once we develop it.
Oh, well, that's absolutely why they steal it. They don't hold nearly the value to it.
Yeah.
So whether or not it would disrupt it, our own ability to compete is going to be dependent on it, and to control it appropriately as much as we can too, right? Play offense and defense at the same time, perhaps? All right, Nathan is going to discuss now what's going on with the Roth IRA universe, why this may not make sense for you to pursue financially.
Yeah, so moving to a different topic here. Roth IRAs. So first off, no single retirement strategy is one size fits all, and that includes Roth IRAs. For some, a Roth IRA may not be the right move. So the first group of people that we'll look at is those who cannot make a contribution. The modified adjusted income phase-out ranges for Roth IRA eligibility in 2023 are $218,000 to $228,000 for those who are married filing jointly, and $138,000 to $153,000 for single filers. If your modified adjusted gross income is above these phase-out ranges, then you are prohibited from contributing directly to a Roth IRA.
Wow. So this is new money going into a Roth. There are income limitations, regardless of whether or not you're participating in a retirement plan.
Absolutely.
It's simply an income limitation. I'm sorry you made too much.
Wow.
And the other side of that coin is not having earned income. So to be eligible to open a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA with a contribution, a person or a person's spouse must have compensation. This includes wages, salaries, commissions, and other dollars received for personal services and that would qualify as compensation for IRA contribution eligibility. Items that do not qualify as compensation include pension and annuity income, interest income, capital gains, and Social Security benefits. No compensation equals no Roth IRA contribution.
In essence, was the income earned? If you earned it, then you can usually make a contribution to some kind of retirement account.
Exactly. So backdoor Roth IRA conversions, where an individual contributes to a traditional IRA and then converts that contribution, can be a way around the income limits on Roth IRA contributions. There are no income limits on traditional IRA contributions. However, this strategy, of course, would not overcome a lack of compensation. Without compensation, no traditional IRA contribution can be made either. Making an ineligible contribution to a Roth IRA due to either income that is over the limit or lack of compensation will result in an excess contribution. This problem occurs frequently because Roth IRA contributions are not reported on the tax return. Oftentimes, they go untracked, allowing excess contributions to go on for years. A 6% penalty applies for each year the excess contribution remains in the Roth IRA.
So you got to get it out of there. There's not a time where it sunsets in terms of the penalty.
Yeah. So the government can carry on a penalty in perpetuity, as Dennis was just saying. So another area would be reasons not to convert. So Roth
moving to the conversions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Roth conversions are different than Roth contributions. Roth conversions, you don't have an income limit. You can convert any IRA amount. Traditional and SEP IRAs are always eligible for conversion. Simple IRAs are eligible after 2 years have passed since the first simple IRA contribution was received.
Oh my gosh. So there is a lot of confusion about this. Well, aren't I limited when I'm, you know, to do a conversion? I can convert any amount, whatever amount you want to pay tax on.
Right.
You're not limited by income. Well, you could earn, Ron, $1 million last year.
$1 million.
See, perfect. See, he was right there.
There's a button for that.
Yes.
Indeed. So it doesn't matter what you earned. If you wanted to add to those earnings with a conversion, you could theoretically do that. Given today's historically low tax brackets, you may want to. But there are also reasons not to, as Nathan will get to.
Yeah, so why shouldn't everyone with qualified pre-tax funds and employer plans and IRAs go ahead and convert every last dollar to a Roth IRA? While the benefits of a Roth IRA are undeniable, any credible planning advice should always include an exploration of the alternatives. Pumping the brakes is critical. Are there times when conversions may not be the best move? Of course. There are, in fact, some significant reasons why a person should not convert retirement funds to Roth IRAs. So let's take a look at a couple of those scenarios. One of them is the inability to pay the tax bill. So just because you could convert, let's say, $100,000 of your IRA to a Roth IRA, all of that $100,000 is earned income for that year. And that's... While the tax rates are low, that's still a good chunk to pay directly to.
Your accountant might not like your financial advisor for having recommended that.
Absolutely.
Because all of a sudden you owe, for instance, $30,000 between Fed and state taxes, as an example.
Just money, guys.
Which can totally bump you up into the next tax bracket.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
Somebody did text. They said you may want to mention the federal government likes it its tax money as soon as you do the rollover, or they'll hit you with a late fee penalty. Is that not a rollover, but a conversion? Is that so? Like you said, you'd get the tax bill. Do you have to pay it right away?
Well, you may want to make an estimate. For sure, you'll have to owe it by the following April. But if you're too far behind in terms of estimates, you know, that's a conversation with an accountant that we don't have here right now. So we'd have to ask them. But sure enough, you'll have to pay the tax.
Absolutely. Another scenario that it might not make sense for you to do a conversion is if you have immediate financial needs. For example, seniors who need the money for daily living expenses and anyone who asks how soon they can take the money out are not good candidates for a Roth conversion.
And this is money that you need from the traditional IRA or simple IRA for income purposes or other needs. There's a car that you just can't do without. I know nobody knows what I'm speaking of here. It happens to be red and very, very fast. I'm referring to someone, he knows who he is. But, you know, hey, you just need the money.
Mm-hmm. Another reason is the possibility of losing financial aid. So if college is on the horizon, it might not be an urgent concern for many parents, but having an IRA will not affect potential financial aid. However, a Roth IRA conversion will result in a spike in income in the year of the conversion. And then that income must then be reported on the FAFSA and the CSS profile.
You're so young and you have college children still. Yes, I know I do. Well, given that reality, remember. Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
Yep. Another reason is missing out on future tax breaks. Converting and paying taxes on all pre-tax dollars now may mean the loss of meaningful tax breaks later, such as qualified charitable distributions. Another reason is charity as the beneficiary. So if you have an IRA with a beneficiary as a charity, you should not convert that IRA to a Roth.
Now, of course, going further in this newsletter, EdSlot newsletter, there's a whole article on why leaving an IRA to charity could make sense, although it says makes sense by me.
Yeah.
So that's a mm-hmm.
Our very
good
own Dennis yeah. Prout was featured in the Ed Slot newsletter.
Absolutely.
Now I lost my page.
If you want to check out that article, feel free to go to proutfinancialdesign.com.
Oh, that's right. We do have it posted there.
Absolutely.
And so if you're charitably minded, the IRA could make sense, but then the Roth conversion may not. All right. Go ahead, Nathan. Sorry.
And then just the last point here is Roth skeptics. So it seems that Congress has tipped its hands. They love Roth IRAs. They love collecting that tax money right away, mm-hmm. As we were just talking about the estimated tax payments.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they introduced Roth ACEP plans, Roth Simple, Roth Employer Match, all of those things with the new Secure 2.0 Act. Roth means tax revenue now, and that is music to the ears of a politician.
They're so greedy.
However, some individuals remain unconvinced. They are skeptical that the government will keep its tax-free promise. Mm-hmm. Skeptical of the government. Imagine that. Tax laws are effectively written in pencil, and the tax-free benefits of a Roth IRA could, theoretically, be stripped away.
There'd be an uproar.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. For those who just cannot bring themselves to overcome the concern that the rules will change and tax-free earnings on Roth IRAs will be eliminated from the tax code, a Roth IRA conversion probably is not the right move. But of course, at the very least, look at other potential tax-free income options mm-hmm. for your retirement with your financial advisor.
Now, Deanne, you've got some more stats related to AI as well, and I thought would be helpful.
I do. I have some more stats on how AI is or will affect the market. The global AI market is valued at over $136 billion, and that source is Grandview Research. AI industry value is projected to increase by over 13 times over the next 7 years. The AI market is expanding at a compound annual growth rate of 38.1% between 2022 to 2030, and that source is Grandview Research.
So what is the growth rate that they propose?
38.1% between 2022 and 2030.
No, I mean the previous stat. What was that? How many times?
Oh, 13 times, by over 13 times in the next 7 years.
7 years, okay.
Yep. The global AI market is expected to reach $1.81 trillion by 2030, and that's the Grandview Research.
Yeah, that seven-year growth is 44%, according to my little trusty HP here. Thank you,
good,
Nathan.
Good. Yeah.
So in the range of 35 to 45% growth per year. Yeah.
Yeah. The AI software market's global annual revenue is currently over $50 billion, and that source is Meta. And then 83% of companies claim that AI is a top priority in their business plan, and that source is Forbes. 83% of companies.
So they've already glommed onto this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're seeing the impact of this. And it's, some of it may just be, frankly, boring use. You know, again, Netflix, mm-hmm. using it to help recommend appropriate movies to those who are watching, given what they've already watched and their preferences.
Yep, and Netflix makes $1 billion annually from automated personalization recommendations, and that source is Business Insider. So it's not if businesses are going to, you know, go in the direction of AI, it is they are and will.
Yeah, and how are they going to make use of it?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah. So how much time do we have here, Ron?
We've got 2 minutes.
All right. Well, the Khan Academy, a question before we get going?
I was going to say, Mark Cuban, the Shark Tank tech guy, was on Mackinac Island for the Mackinac Policy Conference last week, spoke all about AI and basically said, if you don't know what it is, if you don't want to know, you better get on it. Everybody needs to. Mm-hmm. Every business owner needs to be on it.
Check it out on Google. You'll be amazed what comes up in terms of information, Wikipedia and otherwise, and what AI is, what ChatGPT is, how it works, the advantages and the disadvantages thereof, and the concerns related to it. Using ChatGPT to bring one-on-one teaching to scale, an interesting article here with his company's new AI-infused tool, Conmigo, one-on-one teaching can scale to the masses. We reference this briefly, but Conmigo allows students to make queries in the middle of lessons or videos and understand the context of what they're watching. You can ask, what is the significance of the green light in The Great Gatsby? Help on factoring polynomials, including recognizing which step a student got wrong. Not just knowing the answer is wrong. Fixing ChatGPT's math problem. Sci-fi becomes really a scalable super tutor. So right in the middle of perhaps a class, a teacher says something and makes an offhanded comment, and you ask then, what does that mean? Just for clarification, this is where AI can be extremely helpful. Well, obviously I can get that on the internet, but given what's being taught as well, it's interesting how quickly this can be accessed as a part of that. Conmigo allows students to make queries in the middle of lessons. Mr. Khan suggests, who's the inventor of the Khan Academy, says there is no limit to learning. If you ask, why is the sky blue? You'll get a short answer and then maybe, but let's go back to the mitochondria lesson. Mr. Khan thinks average students can become exceptional students as a part of this. So, what he is saying as a part of this is there are going to be some huge positives that come from this as well. Controlling it and or keeping ourselves safe may be a part of the equation. And that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening.
That will wrap up this edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, Mr. Dennis Prout, Nathan Prout, Deanne Jennings. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.